All right, tonight if you'll take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, probably some of the most familiar verses that you know out of the book of Romans. Quoted quite often, quoted by me quite often. But we're going to take a look tonight. We've been just finished our series on understanding and doing the will of God. In order for us to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives, we see what Paul says in verse number 1 and 2 here. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, there it is, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In all of Paul's letters, he concludes with a list of practical duties based on the doctrine that he presents within the letters that he writes. This is getting near the end of Romans, and he is listing some of these things. And we must understand that in the Christian life, doctrine and duty go hand in hand. They go together. Our beliefs should affect our behavior. Or to put it another way, our learning should be translated into our living. True Christian service and living must begin with personal dedication to the Lord. That's where it begins at. The believer who fails in the Christian life is usually the one who has first failed at the altar, refusing to surrender completely to Christ. Tonight we're going to take a look at verse number 1 here. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll take a look at verse number 2 as we look at this matter of proving God's will and what does it take to do that. First of all, I'm going to ask them some questions so we're going to answer them from this verse number 1 tonight. Number 1, why are we to present? Why are we to present our bodies a living sacrifice? Well, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This is not a command. Paul uses the word beseech. That word beseech means to call near, to invite, you know, somebody to come alongside. And he's saying, I beseech you by the mercies of God. In other words, because of what God has already done for us. You know, we do not serve Christ in order to receive His mercies. We serve Christ because we are recipients of His mercies. And that's what he's saying. You know, he's talking to the church at Rome there. You know, we've had the benefit of God's mercies, and we've got the benefit of God's mercies in our life, we ought to be presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. So the short answer to why we are to present would be out of love for God, for His mercies. So the motive for the kind of dedication that Paul is calling for here is love. The motivation is love. We should serve the Lord, serve God, out of love and appreciation for all His benefits, all of His mercies. Psalm 116, verse 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Even the psalmist knew, you know, the Lord is so good. What should I give Him in return because of His goodness to me? What benefits or mercies have we received from the Lord? I want us to think on that for a little bit here. First of all, we received the mercy of His long-suffering and forbearance. I don't know that very few people, the first time that they hear the gospel, get saved. Some folks grow up in church, and there for a while, you know, they sit up under the preaching of the gospel before they get saved. You think of the Lord keeping you alive and not letting you drop into hell during the time that you didn't trust in Him. I'm talking about His forbearance, talking about His long-suffering, and He's a very long-suffering God. Peter puts it in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our life could have been taken at any time, but the Lord was gracious unto us. Amen. What a blessing that is. We have not only received the mercy of His long-suffering and forbearance, but we've received the mercy of His kindness and goodness. The kindness and goodness of the Lord really, falls on the just and the unjust. You think about God, in Matthew 5:45, says He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Romans 2:4 talks about, or despise thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And just the goodness of God in general ought to be enough for us to recognize the mercy of our Lord. We have received the mercy of His compassion. Amen. Lamentations 3:22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Look at Ephesians 2. And this is the biggie. You know, we've received the mercy of His provision for salvation. You know, the Lord didn't have to provide salvation for us. He could have just left us in a lost condition. But that's not the way that He is, and not the way He deals. He's a compassionate, loving God, and merciful, and that shows itself in the salvation He provided through Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2, look at 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Something's going to be happening throughout eternity. I think we're going to learn of all the mercies that Christ has had in our life during the time that we were living here. Amen. Look at Titus 3. And Paul mentions here to the young preacher Titus, and Titus 3, he first talks about what we know about ourselves. We know that we were sinners before we got saved. Amen. And he pretty much brings that to Titus's mind here. And Titus 3, look at 3, says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Amen. We were, weren't we? Disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I mean, that was the old life. That was us before the Lord got a hold of us. It says in 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not only does His mercy extend in giving us life, but His mercy extends in giving us way much more than what we deserve. Amen? That's what grace is all about. So we've received mercy of His provision for salvation. We've received the mercy of His forgiveness. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's really kind of summed up in a Psalm 86:15 that says this, But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. We're just scratching the surface of talking about God's mercy in our lives. But we should serve Him based on His mercies. And I like that Paul puts that in a plural. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Because they are plural. There are many different mercies that the Lord has blessed us with. Another thing here is we should serve Him because it is our reasonable service. It is our reasonable service. That reasonable means rational, logical. I'm kind of a logical fella. I guess most of you kind of figured that out by now. But it just makes sense, right? It just makes sense. It's the right thing to do. I mean, you think about all that God has done for us, and it just makes sense that we ought to give our lives over to Him. Kind of reminds me of, I grew up watching Andy Griffith's show. Remember the episode where Andy saved Gomer's life, and Gomer followed him around, and it wouldn't give him any peace. I mean, he was basically going to serve Andy, the sheriff, for the rest of the days of his life. He said, "Nothing's too small for the man that saved my life." You remember those? Remember that? I know we got a kick out of laughing at that, but listen, that is true. I mean, when somebody has saved you, Jesus did something greater, saved our soul from eternal hell. And, you know, it just makes sense. It's the right thing to do. Why are we to present? Well, the mercies of God, and it's a reasonable service. What does it mean to present? I think we probably know that. Present means to offer for acceptance. It is what the prophet Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:8 when the Lord said, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And He said, "Here am I, send me." In Isaiah 6:8. To present is a voluntary act. It's not forced servitude, but a willing servitude out of love. There's a good example of this in Scripture. If you'll flip back to Deuteronomy chapter number 15, we see it in some of Moses' writings here when he was telling the children of Israel, he was delivering the law of God, and part of that law was if they had one of their brethren, one of the Hebrew brethren that had to put himself into servitude for them because he was indebted to them for some reason. He didn't have the money to be able to pay, so he served to pay off his debt. 6 years was all he could be made to work. The seventh year, he was to be released. But it says about this servant, down in verse number 16, it says, and it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. It's a bond servant. He's bonded himself to you. It says, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. This is the picture that when Paul talks about being a slave or being a servant of Christ, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about he does it he loves his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, because the master has been good to him. And he wants to serve. It's a willingness. It's not a forced servitude. Don't get in your mind. Some people read where somebody calls themselves a servant of Jesus Christ that their arms are being twisted in order to do that. But what we see is they understand the great love that Christ had for them, and they serve out of a voluntary basis. So to present is a voluntary act. Also, to present is a sacrificial act. You know, you can't present something that don't cost you something, can you? You know, it costs you something. You have to give something up if you give a present. And that's what we give up our rights to say what we're going to do with our bodies. And that brings us to number three thing that we want to look in our passage of Scripture there is, what are we to present? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Present your bodies. Think about this thought. God can use anything He wants to accomplish His purposes. He can use anything He wants to accomplish His purposes. God could make these seats and these walls cry out for Him if He wanted to, right? He could make the rocks cry out when Jesus said that. Yeah. So, if you just get the thought here. God can use anything He wants to accomplish His purposes, and yet He chooses to use us. Isn't that an awesome thought? He chooses to use us. Before we trusted Christ, we just read about in Titus, we used our body for sinful pleasures and purposes. But now that we belong to Him, we should want to use our body to bring Him glory. The believer's body is God's temple because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within him. We know that to be the case, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know that ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So this, when we got saved, we're God's. Everything we have belongs to Him. So we're really just giving Him back what is rightfully His. When we give ourselves to God, we're just giving Him what rightly belongs to Him. It should be our privilege to glorify Christ in our body and to magnify Christ in our body. Look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians and chapter number 1. You have to give me a second here. There it is. I did mark it. Thought there for a minute I lost my marker. Sometimes that happens. They'll fall out of my Bible sometimes while I'm turning some of the pages to the other places. Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse 20 and 21. And Paul's speaking about himself here. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm His, and so I just rightfully means that I should be living for Him. Just as Jesus Christ had to take upon Himself a body in order to accomplish God's will on the earth, so we must yield our bodies to Christ that He might continue God's work through us. We are His body, and that's what He calls us, His body. Because His body's not here anymore. We are His body. We accomplish God's work here on the earth. Romans 6 verse 13 points this out. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And we'll take a look at some other verses there in just a minute. But why are we to present the mercies of God? And reasonable service. What does it mean to present? It means to offer for acceptance. What are we to present? Our bodies. How are we to present our bodies? Well, he says we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, a living sacrifice is one of those oxymorons, right? Yeah. Say, wait a minute. I thought sacrifices were dead. A living sacrifice. Well, we're not to commit suicide. That's not what he's talking about. But we are to die to self. Look at Romans chapter number 6. And we'll see the gist of what the Apostle Paul is getting to. And he, Of course, it's earlier in the book from what we're looking at tonight, Romans 12. But in Romans 6, he'd already dealt with this before. Look at verse number 1, and we basically used verse number 1 this morning in this morning's message. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And now he gives his argument for this. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We see we died in Christ. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed. I mean, we are in Christ. If you're in Christ, Christ is dead, buried, resurrected. Amen. We identify in all three aspects of that. He said, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, we are to die to self. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. And that's what he's talking about here in Romans 6. Being crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's the resurrected life. Christ resurrected. His life is in me. I'm to live a resurrected life. So he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 5, verse 24, Paul said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And he said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. We have to count it as being so, because it is so, that we are dead indeed unto sin and alive unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, we're not to commit suicide. We're to die to self. We are to live unto God. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's what it gets to. Live for Jesus. Jesus died for us, and he wants us to live for him. What is sacrifice? We present our bodies a living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice has to be offered wholly. I'm talking about in its entirety, nothing held back. Okay? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Okay? So, a sacrifice, you give the whole thing when you sacrifice. A sacrifice has to be offered also wholly, H-O-L-Y. And when the children of Israel would bring a sacrifice, it was supposed to be of the best. Supposed to be, have set apart. They had set it apart and set it and reserve the best for God that they were to bring to him. A sacrifice was to be offered for God. So we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're to present our bodies wholly. That word holy means set apart from sin and unto God for His particular purposes. And then we are to present our bodies acceptable unto God. And that word acceptable means fully agreeable. Fully agreeable. So the first step in proving God's will in your life is to present your body as a living sacrifice. Giving our life to God for His sake doesn't mean that we lose it, but rather that we save it. Look at Matthew chapter number 16, last place I'll have you turn. Matthew chapter number 16, Jesus said this. when He's talking about the matter of discipleship, Matthew 16, verse number 24 and 25. Look what it says here. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." Which will it be for us? Giving up the temporal for the eternal? You know, that's why we're to, as Paul told the Colossians, set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Give up the temporal for the eternal, or giving up the eternal for the temporal. You know, everything that we work for in this life, everything that we accomplish in this life is going to fade away one day. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Amen. I think somebody put it, and I forget who said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Yeah. And so let's remember, we've got to make the call. We can't have it both ways. You can't serve for the temporal and the eternal. You've got to make up your mind to sacrifice your life unto the Lord and give your life wholly to Him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You tonight.